Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, hello everybody. Looks like our opener went on strike today, so we are going to have to do without it. Let's see one more time. Everything is going to be all right. You're listening to Tippy Talk. Time now to sit back, relax, listen, and enjoy the moment. Newborn is the official band that provides all the music for Tippy Talk. To hear more of their music, you can go to newbornband.com and enjoy their wonderful sound. And now it is time to step into the Tippy Zone, where we explore the other side of reality. Side that allows you to reshape your life, step into your power, and connect to the fact that we are all one. Welcome to Tippy Talk, where we go from where you are to where you want to be. I'm your host, Tippy Talk. Hey!
Hey!
Welcome to the Week of the Thriller. And today we hope to not only entertain you and thrill you, but also actually teach you something. And I'd like to welcome to the show today an author and a writer, Brad Menzel, who I am so happy has joined us. Welcome, Brad. And let me tell you a little
bit
about
Brad. Thank you so much. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. It's wonderful to hear from you. So Brad originally was a New York-based writer and author of a humor book called How Not to Parent, which is really witty and funny, and I definitely recommend that. And his writing appeared in America's Funniest Humor Book 3, The Writer's Handbook, and in magazines like The Writer's Digest, Animation, and Real Screen. He also has been showcased in Reader for Dime Story, and a joke contributor to Parrot Roundtable and FunnyFarm.com. John Caruso is the latest book that Brad has written, and it's a spy in the making, and it's the first book that is actually a serious book, and I believe it is also a mystery book. Brad, am I correct?
Yes, it's suspense. It's the first book in a series, and it's humor, and it's also suspenseful.
Oh, that's great. So you took the humor and you put it together with a suspenseful story.
Yes, that's, you know, I wanted to always write a suspense book for years. And I had been doing, obviously, humor writing for, I don't know, 15, 20 years. So it just seemed like a natural fit to incorporate a lot of humor into my suspense story, which I thought would kind of make it unique. So, and also entertaining at the same time.
Well, it actually does, because combining humor with mystery and thrill and a spy story is very difficult for someone who doesn't have experience writing humor. I think it would be almost impossible to try to do that without having that experience first. But being able to use that, I find it always really amazing how we do things in life and we go through things, but we don't know how it's going to be useful later on in life. And then you find that it's useful in the most amazing routine that you go on. Did you ever think you were going to write a spy book when you were writing the comedy book?
You know, it's something that I always wanted to do, but I had no idea, because of my schedule and my family and everything else, if it would ever happen or if it would just be one of those things on your bucket list that you never get done. But when I finished How Not to Parent and got it out the door, I said, you know what, let me just try this. Let me take a step back from the humor columns and see if I can actually write the suspense novel now. So I didn't know, but I said, you know what, let me just give it a shot.
Oh, I like that. And by the way, a bucket list, by definition, is a list of things that you are going to do before you die, not a list of things that you're not going to do. Just want to correct that.
That's true. You're right. But sometimes people make these lofty goals and things, and they never hit those items on that bucket list or those goals, right?
Absolutely.
You know, it's kind of like
exactly. And also, a lot of things on those bucket lists really don't even seem realistic. You're just writing there because, you know, well, I'm going to die anyway, right? But they don't seem realistic.
Yeah.
And I think most people don't even have the audacity to jump into them and do them. So you said, hey, I'm going to die anyway. I might as well try to write this book I always wanted to write.
Yeah, and it took forever to get it done. And so there were times where I thought, I'm not going to get this done. I'm not going to publish this, but I was able to kind of see it through. And the last year or two was really hairy tippy because my family and I decided to relocate and I had to get a new job. So trying during a pandemic to get a book out the door and to get a new job and to move is a lot. So the last year or two, but I was determined after all that work to get it done.
So yeah, when I said Brad Menzel is a New York-based writer and author, I guess was a New York-based writer and author, but you had to pack it all up and move out of New York with the pandemic and with everything that was going on, plus write a book at the same time. Yeah, I think that's a huge challenge. I think even for me and to most people, that's when you shelve your project. When all these things start hitting you and you're all of a sudden doing things that not from your daily routine, out of your daily routine.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
it took a lot of determination to get it done and some long nights to get it done. Absolutely.
Right, exactly. So today we're not only going to talk about John Caruso, which is the name of the new book that Brad wrote. We're also going to talk about the process of what it takes to actually write a book. And then writing a book is like only the beginning of the process, and then editing it and editing it again and again and again and getting it ready and publishing it. And going through that process, I know that a lot of people I know say, I'm going to write a book. And 20 years later, they're still, I'm going to write a book. So it's not an easy process. I think the majority out of 100% of people that want to write a book, maybe 20% actually succeed. So
yeah,
it's a really process. So let's start with John Caruso, because I love that character. And I love the way you intertwined the older generation with the younger generation, and it was actually not a parent and a child, it was a grandparent and a child, and that's skipping a generation, which makes the communication even more difficult. And I love the way you combine that to make it a very witty but yet very interesting relationship, very interesting storyline. So how did you come up with that idea?
Well, years ago, I had this grandfather character that I used to put in little short stories that I wrote, and I kind of pulled that out of the archives, and based it on that character, and I wanted to try to do something a little bit different. Usually, it's, you know, father son, father daughter, whatever it is, and I wanted to try an aging grandfather, and kind of a young kid who's a teenager, and have them together, and they already have a quirky relationship, and then you've got the fact that there's this huge age gap, and then you've got the two of them trying to nail this fugitive, this guy who is a gun runner and maybe the world's most dangerous gun runner. So I really was thinking, how can I make this interesting, funny, you know, maybe like a fish out of water at times story, and other times just the two of them working together, and how funny that would be. And I thought that there would be some really good humor with that.
So you're saying that you started thinking about how you can put them together even before you sat down to write?
Yes. So when I'm coming up with a story, I will outline, and at the same time, I am doing like character outlines and trying to think that through as well. So I think in this one, and maybe it's not always the case, but in this one, I kind of had the characters first, or at least one of the main characters first, and then I went into outlining the story. But usually, it's kind of done concurrently. You do the outline, you have the characters, but in this case, I kind of had the character first, and I said, okay, how can I build a vehicle around character and maybe his grandson?
Well, I think it's very interesting that you said that you had this character that you had been writing for a long time, and you pulled the character out of the archives. And I think that's really interesting, and it's also very common, because it actually happened to me last night. I started writing a book only two, three days ago, and it was a book about stories and things that had happened to me, because the third person told me you need to write a book, and usually when I get three times the same message, so I started. But the interesting thing about going to the archives is I sat down with a blank page, didn't think anything, and instead of a first chapter, a poem came out. So I figured, okay, fine, I'll write the poem. But then after that, I wrote the first chapter. But then when it came to the second chapter, I remembered that I had written it maybe 10 years ago, maybe 5 years ago, mm-hmm. maybe 20 years. I've written that story that I wanted to write in the second chapter. And for some reason, I couldn't rewrite it. I had to go look it up in the archive. I had to pull it out. And I think it's interesting because you had written that character. You probably knew it really, really well. But yeah, you had to go to the archives to pull it out because you knew you already wrote it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very interesting process. So
very, very interesting.
So, yeah. So you wrote characters first. So you had all the characters lined up, or through the process of writing the book, you came up with new characters?
The latter, actually. So I had John, and I had his grandfather. And then I thought about a love interest for John. And then as it was going along, I was thinking about the different bad guys, okay, the different nemeses. And
right.
So as it was going along and creating these characters, more characters that would seem to fit came into my head. You know, I'm someone who likes to outline and have like a really good picture before I start, but during the process, more and more ideas just start flowing. And as long as it makes sense to the story, and I'm not pulling out a character who doesn't fit, I think it's a good thing.
It is a good thing to go with the flow rather than to say, no, this is what I said before, this is where I'm going to stay. Then that's
right.
A bit rigid, right? Yeah.
Right.
Right. It's just like when I started writing a story and a poem came out, I wasn't going to stop and say, no, I was going to write the first chapter and nothing else. You can't do that.
Right. And you never know where the story is going to go, at least for me. I have an outline, but then there are new characters that emerge. Maybe there are some interesting storylines that can also be added. So I've got this general outline, and then as I'm writing, I'm filling it in, and I'm adding more, and the story's becoming more clear and better and stronger.
The grandfather's name?
Peter. Pete Caruso.
Oh, okay. Still the same last name.
Same last name.
Yeah. Okay, so the book is in essence two things. Number one, it's about the relationship between the grandfather and the grandchild. And
absolutely,
it's about
yes.
Right. So, and it's about, you're saying you also have a love interest for the for John Caruso or for Peter Caruso?
For John.
Okay.
So it's also kind of a, it's also kind of a coming of age kind of story, and watching transformation of John going from this kind of a clumsy, awkward kid who lives at home with his mom to a kid who's now a pseudo agent, basically, by the end of the story. And also he meets a girl along the way, and because of the confidence that he gains in training and becoming an agent, he now has the confidence to meet a girl. And the girl in the story is Liz O'Brien, and she's someone who was not attainable to him in high school at all. And he meets her now under different circumstances, and things have changed. He's now a more confident kid and everything else. So
this is somebody he actually knew from high school, but never had the confidence to approach her.
Right.
You saying? Oh, interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah. So it's the evolution of John, and I think it's a good first book for these characters. You learn about them, and then hopefully, as I write more, the characters will evolve more, and we'll learn even more about them. But I think it's a fun first book.
Yeah, so it's going to be a series of books. It's not going to be one book. So we're talking about the relationships between the characters, which is really good. We're talking about the growth of one character from one stage of life into another. And then you're talking about the really object of the book, which is the story of catching a very dangerous criminal.
Yep.
And I think it's like the leftover part of the grandfather's career of one criminal that always evaded him during his lifelong career as a spy, as an agent. So it's so it gets very complex as you go along, and you go in a lot of different directions. Sounds
maybe that's why it took me so long to do it. Even though my schedule is crazy, there were all these complex things going on, and it can get very, very challenging to kind of keep all the stories straight, to keep the characters in character, and to keep everything moving. And so, yeah, there was a lot going on. An ambitious first book, I guess.
yeah. And you pulled it off pretty quickly, actually. It didn't take you 20 years.
It didn't take me 20, but from start to finish, it took me several years. But like I said, my schedule has always been kind of crazy. Married, two kids. A normal workday is me getting up at 5:30, 6 in the morning, and not getting home until 6 o'clock at night. So I mean, it's a long day, you know. But yeah, it took me several years to do it, but I think it was worth it.
Yeah, it's like having a baby. And so I wanted to talk to you about your writing schedule, because I think that's one of the things that a lot of people have a problem with. How do you fit in writing on a consistent basis? How does it work for you?
So when I was writing this book, and then I found that the best time to write for me was in the morning. I'd have some coffee, and then I would find maybe a half an hour, 45 minutes in the mornings, and that's when I would just it would just flow. I would just start writing, and things would go. Now, for when I was living in New York, I had about an hour and 15-minute commute from Staten Island to Manhattan for work. So that commute, as I was sitting on a bus, was actually the perfect time to write, because there were really no distractions. I could just sit there and write. Now, I was on an express bus, which is a little bit different from a normal city bus. So I always got a seat, and it wasn't cramped like a city bus or a subway. But anyway, I would be able to sit down, and I would just write for like 30 minutes, write, edit, outline. And it was great. For probably about half the ride, most mornings, that's when I felt really, really creative. I'm not someone who goes and can sit down for 3-4 hours. I can't do that. And I'm not someone who writes at night, usually, unless I have to. I'm someone that, you know, when I'm charged up in the morning, that's when I like to do it. Give me some caffeine and I'm ready to go.
That's fantastic. But what are you going to do now that you don't have that commute? How are you going to keep on writing?
I have been altering my schedule a little bit, and I find myself when I was in New York, I would write during the week. Now I find myself usually on like a Saturday morning or something, or a Sunday morning. I'll sit down then, kind of before everyone's up. I'll grab some coffee, and I got half an hour, 45 minutes, an hour, and that's been working out. So yeah, I had to alter my schedule because now I have to drive to work, so it's different. Yeah,
right.
But weekends are working out. I like it in the morning. I like to do it in the morning. You know, like I said, grab some coffee, and the ideas are just flowing better for me in the morning.
So during the week, you don't even think about your writing, or you just think about it on the way to work, or like what happens during the week?
You know what? During the week though is actually good, because I do actually think about it, because I'm someone who likes to write and then kind of put things down sometimes. So I notice that when I step away for 3, 4, 5 days from something, all of a sudden I'm looking at it with a fresh set of eyes, and ideas are just, for me, that kind of works.
So when you come back after the week, let's say you write on Sunday and you think about it during the week and you come back on Sunday, do you have to go back and reread the last chapter just to start flowing from there, or can you just pick it up where you left off?
That is a great question. So what I normally do is I'll actually reread the whole thing. And just to get a whole, unless it's like, you know, 200 pages or something. But I like to go through and kind of read as much as I can to get myself back into it. Because I think it's a little bit disjointed if you just kind of try to pick up from that point. I like to just kind of read the whole thing again, especially if it's a shorter piece, something that's like a couple thousand words or something like that. Then I'll just go and, you know, and do it like that.
It would be great, like, if you read the last chapter, but you're right, as you get more and more into it, it would be difficult, because by the time you finish reading everything you wrote, you won't have time to write anymore. So I guess you have to have some kind of a cutoff line on how far you're going to go back and read.
Yeah, but I think it's good for fiction to continually, especially when you're trying to write suspense, I think it's good to go back a little bit, because you also have all these plot twists and turns, and you don't want to forget things that happen too.
So it sounds like a really interesting book for people that love to read. This is the kind of book I'd like to curl up in bed at night and read. Problem is that if it gets too suspenseful, I can't put it down, and then I end up staying up too late. But that's just what I like to do. But so where can people find that book?
The book is on Amazon right now. You can go to Amazon, you can get the Kindle, you can get the hardcover. And
so when I go to Amazon, do I have to type in Brad Menzo or John Caruso, or like how do I find it?
Oh yeah, you can just type in Brad Menzo. Manzo, last name, or John Caruso, Spy in the Making, and either way, you will get there. And there's also a book trailer out, and you guys can check that out. I think it's kind of funny. It'll give you a nice taste of that, and you can just Google that as well. That's on YouTube, and that's on Vimeo. You can go to, actually, I think there's a, it's, if you go to Amazon and you go to my author page, you can actually see the book trailer there as well. And I'm on Twitter.
I actually like the trailer. I think I'm going to put the link to the trailer right below. If you're going to be listening to this on the internet, all you have to do is go to the description and I'll put the link to the trailer. It's really cute. I was kind of wondering about that. Did you do this by yourself?
I wish I had the skills. So, but what I did was actually, I actually wrote an outline of what I wanted. I tried to do it myself in PowerPoint and all these other tools, and I was like, forget it. This is crazy. So I went to Fiverr, Fiverr, Fiverr.com. I found some really good editors and people that do book trailers and all different kinds of videos, and I found some guys there that actually did it for me, and they're from Germany, and they did a fantastic job. And you know, whenever I had some thoughts, changes, they went and did it, and they delivered it in about a week or two. So it was great.
Wow.
I have no complaints. I wish I had the skill set to get it done myself, but I think that would have taken another year to figure out.
Yeah, I think one of the things that we really have to come to terms with is that you can't do everything yourself. Although I would love to do everything myself,
right.
But it really makes no sense to learn all these skills when you can't even find the time. There's priorities, obviously. So they're the ones that found the actors. They're the ones that found in Germany all that stuff. And then you just directed them and told them how to do it.
Yeah. They had some stock footage and other things. And they have a whole setup over there. They're doing these things constantly. So
wow.
I gave them the outline. And they put it together for me, and I was very, very pleased. I think it's funny. It's a couple of minutes. It gives you a taste of the book, and I think it's fun, and I think it kind of resembles what the book is like, you know?
Yeah, I like it because you're right. Even in that small little trailer, you do have the humor that you put in, like this dead body getting up and walking away at just the right moment, and you have the seriousness of the situation. It really represents a lot in a tiny little trailer like that. So I think they did do a great job, and you did a great job directing them.
I think they knocked it out of the park, though. Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. So, do you have a personal website?
Yeah, I have a blog, bradmanzo.wordpress.com, and I have been posting my humor columns and stuff there for years, and there's all kinds of stuff on there, going all the way back to 2010 and 11, and you guys can see the videos and stuff, and the promotional stuff from my previous book. And all the way up until recent. So there's a ton of info there, and you can learn a little bit more about me and what else I've written. So yeah, again, it's bradmanzo.wordpress.com.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great. So we can go to bradmanzo.wordpress.com and find out more information about Brad, which I think is really fun to do, especially for me. After I read a book, I want to find out more about the person that wrote it.
Yeah.
So. So you had a major life-changing situation of moving out of New York. Had you been in New York for your entire life before that, or did you come to New York from somewhere else?
No, I was born and raised. I was born and raised in Long Island, and I somehow found my way to Staten Island. I was in I was in Brooklyn for a while, and Queens for a couple of years, and then in Staten Island. And then one day, my wife turned to me and said, "You know what? I just want to go somewhere different. Let's change it up. Maybe find some warmer, a little bit cheaper." So we started looking into it, and a couple of years later, we ended up in Greenville, South Carolina, which is a very nice area. But I love New York. I spent my whole life there. My wife as well. I miss it in some respects, but I do like the change. I think change is good sometimes, and it kind of helps you grow. And so I'm happy with it.
So if I asked you, how is life outside New York, other than I'm happy with it, what else can you say about it? Because it's really not the same as someone who's been traveling and lived all over the place. For you, it's like Long Island, Staten Island, Brooklyn, whatever, but it's always in the New York, and then boom, you're out of it. how is life outside New York?
Bit more laid back. And the one way I can really tell is at work. Whenever there were stressful times in my job in New York City, you could just sense the stress. People were getting angry and short and terse, and here it's a bit more laid back. My managers, they just kind of roll with the punches. One of them is from the area, and the other one is from Ohio, and so they just deal with things differently. So I think it's that there's a laid back style to it, and I also think even though New York gets a bad rap, I think New Yorkers are friendly. I think people here are actually just friendly, or generally just in saying hi to you. You'll just walk around and people just say hi. New York, not as much, obviously, as you know. Not that New Yorkers.
Yeah.
I love New York. You know, I love New Yorkers and miss in a lot of ways. But I think those are two things. And I think another thing that I like here is the weather's a little bit warmer. And so not that it's Florida, not that it's tropical or anything, but there's been no snow. And then probably by March, you're going to be, you know, hitting a high of probably 65, 70 degrees during the day. So that's something else that's nice. And people were actually going swimming, because I'm in an apartment complex right now, and people were actually swimming until beginning of October, which get New York.
Yeah.
So there's a little lifestyle change there. But laid back and weather and things like that. And the area that I'm in, there's tons of things to do, which is Greenville. And I like it. It's not as crazy as New York, obviously. It's busy. But there's still a lot to do. And the other thing that I love about here is there are no tolls, and I can drive an hour or two in one direction. I can go to Atlanta or something, and it's just basically open highways. So that's great.
Nice.
New York can try to do that, and you hit two tolls and 2 hours of traffic.
Yeah. I live like 15 or 16 minutes away from JFK, and sometimes it takes me an hour and a half to 2 hours to get there. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's crazy. So that's one thing that I do not.
Yeah, I can totally understand that, because I came to New York when I was 10. So I spent high school and college in New York. And I love New York, but I left like the day I graduated college. I literally got in my car and said, I'm driving out of here. And then every time I would come visit, because my whole family is in New York, what I would run around and everybody I saw, I would ask them, why would anybody stay in New York voluntarily? I mean, it's great to visit, but life is just so stressful. There's so much restrictions. Like there's the traffic, there's the trash, there's the stress, the subways. On my way to work on the subway, most of the time I had to stand like a sardine because I was in Brooklyn. I wasn't in Staten Island. So life is really difficult. But as a kid growing up, you don't know that there's anything else until you go.
Right.
And once I left, I was like, why would anybody stay voluntarily? I just don't get it. I don't get it. But now I get because you're used to it. It's your life.
Yeah. I also think New York has a certain energy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's so much to do there, and there's so many opportunities there as well. So there are some reasons.
Yeah. I just don't see it, but yeah.
Yeah.
as much as I love being here.
Now that I'm here, I'm enjoying it, yes.
So do you think you would ever consider coming back to New York?
I don't think so. Because my next step, you know, probably over the next 15 to 20 years, I'm going to start thinking about retirement maybe. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I want to go and retire in New York. As much as I like it, it's an expensive place to live. So mm-hmm. I think I'm in the right area now, where, you know, to spend retirement and to spend the next bunch of years in this part of the country.
Mm-hmm. So would you advise anybody that wants to write a book to move to a calmer place that it helps? How did that affect your writing as far as having less stress?
You know what? I think you can write from anywhere. I just think you need to be able to establish a pattern and a writing process. So I actually think New York is good in a lot of respects because, you know, you can meet other writers and stuff like that. And I was able to meet a couple of writers that way. And so there's a lot of networking going on, and there's a lot of ideas based on everything that happens. So I think you can write anywhere. Some people I think write more effectively when they're in a quiet environment, and that's great. But as long as you can find a place to write, I think you can do it anywhere.
What kind of advice would you give someone who wants to write a book?
One,
besides establish a pattern in a writing process, obviously,
yeah,
you already gave that.
Well,
but other than that,
one thing is to realize that it is a big undertaking, and that it may take you a few years to get it done. Approach it like you would a new business. Okay, it's gonna take some time, and there are a lot of things that need to get done. I think the other thing that new writers don't think about is the marketing aspect of it. I think as you are writing your book, I think you should think about the end game. Who is your audience? How are you going to market the book? How should the book cover look? How are you going to promote it? All those things. So I think the marketing is something that generally new writers think about after the book, because they're so excited about writing the great American novel or writing this book, but they're not thinking about the marketing aspect of it. And that part is very, very difficult. And maybe you need to hire people to help you out. Maybe you can do some of it on your own. But that's the part that most writers, new writers, I think, forget about.
Yeah. Would you say that writing a book is like a 50-50% process, where 50% of it is actually creating it and the other 50% is marketing it? Because one without the other, it's useless. What's the point of writing a book if nobody's going to read it?
Yes, 50-50 is a good way of looking at it, because the marketing is just as important and just as challenging as writing the book itself. And also, you know, you're really putting yourself out there. So frequently when you're writing the book, okay, you're kind of writing in a vacuum. Maybe you're showing it to people along the way and getting some feedback. Maybe you're in a writing class or something, whatever. But when you're marketing, you're putting yourself out there. So you're putting your writing out there as well as yourself out there. So yeah, it's challenging. Definitely 50-50 sounds like a good ratio.
Yeah, and you're right. You really don't think about it, especially on the first book that you write. You're all excited about the writing process, getting down and overcoming all your obstacles, that all of a sudden here you have this great book, and then now what? And that's a really good idea. Yeah, so I love the idea of really thinking about it while you're writing it, how you're going to promote it and who you're writing it for. I think it also becomes part of the writing itself when you know.
Yeah.
And it's not all over the place, so that's really good. Do you have any suggestions on where people can learn how to market their book?
I think you can just start by, geez, I wish I had a good book off the top of my head, but I think you can just start to just do research. Just go to Twitter. There's a writing community. I think it's just hashtag writing community, and you can see what a lot of writers are doing there, and learn about book trailers, and how to write a press release. I think if you go to Google and you just start looking at those things and just do book marketing, I think you can learn a little bit there. Like I said, I wish I had a book off the top of my head, but I don't. But book marketing involves a lot of different things. It involves appearances. It involves your book cover. It involves social media. And so there's really a lot involved. So I would just start.
A lot more. I think it's a really great idea that you gave, which is really join some kind of writing community, whether it's Twitter or Facebook,
yep,
or the library, but join a writing community where other people are in your shoes so that you can throw ideas off each other. And
yes,
from there,
right. They're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
I think that's really the best advice that you can get about writing a book. And I think you really stretch that to anything that you're doing, but especially in the writing community, because writing is something you do alone. It's not a social activity. So joining a community really takes it out of the loneliness and the aloneness, not necessarily lonely, the aloneness of the project. So that's a really,
yeah,
really good idea.
Yeah, and the one on Twitter is really good. I interact with a lot of writers and a lot of creative people there, and I see what they're doing, and I see the types of marketing things and promotional things that they're doing. But also, I would say follow a lot of writers on social media and see and just see what they're doing, because they will, because they will post when they're doing a Zoom appearance. They'll post if they're going to be doing a guest blog somewhere, and I think you can learn a lot that way too.
Yeah, absolutely. Off the top of your head, do you have any mentors or influencers that you learned from?
Oh gosh, I was very, very fortunate in that I had a few mentors. The first one that comes to mind is a woman named Eva Shaw, who taught the craft of magazine writing among a whole bunch of other classes that I took. And she was terrific, and she helped me land my first magazine article. So that's when I really had the confidence, like, okay, well maybe I can actually do this writing thing. She was one. And then as I started to try to do humor, a friend of mine introduced me to a guy named Mort Scharfman, who is or was an Emmy Award-winning writer, and he also wrote screenplays and sold like a whole bunch of screenplays, and he actually sat down with me, this guy, and just taught me how to write dialogue, and you know, really tighten the humor and everything else. So I learned so much from him. And then another person was this guy, Bob Mills, another older writer, but Bob Mills wrote for like Carol Burnett, and he was Bob Hope's writer. And so I was really fortunate to like meet these people along the way, and they were terrific and helpful, and they had so much knowledge. So I read a ton of books and took a whole bunch of classes, but I think sometimes if you can just find a really good mentor, just through someone, that's huge. That's invaluable.
I just have to point out something really important that you said that people don't always realize. And you said, I was really fortunate to meet those people along the way. And I hear that all the time. And I think that this really connects directly to your intention and inviting your intention into your life. So you sit down and you say to yourself, well, I want to be a comedy writer. And out of nowhere, all these people pop up into your life, and you think it's a random, fortunate event. But in reality, from what I've learned, is that it's more like you have put out that invitation to invite people of that caliber into your life to help you get along the way, because you made the decision that you want to be that. And that's when you kind of create your life around it, and these people all of a sudden show up. I really believe that that's the way it works.
Yeah, you know, there's an expression that somebody told me, Toastmasters, a long time ago. When the student is ready, the teacher will come. And it sounds like something maybe Yoda would say or something, but I think it's,
yeah, exactly.
I think it's actually very, 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 very truthful. I think the other thing that you need to do is to constantly network and meet people. The larger your network, the more opportunities you will have to meet these people.
Mm-hmm, exactly. So networking and meeting people is really great, but also knowing where you want to go. So you knew I wanted to write comedy, so you took steps towards that. Not knowing is really what gets you stuck. Not be willing to sit down and get clarity, like, okay, this is what I want to do. It's like, and I've said that so many times, if you don't know where you're going, it's like getting into a car and driving 100 miles an hour to nowhere. You know, you don't know where you're going. So how can you get there?
Yep.
So sounds like we covered everything, and I will not be able to wrap it up without asking you about something current that is actually affecting all of us. And I'm kind of wondering how COVID affected your book and how it's affecting your life. Like, what, you know, how you're dealing with it?
Well, it certainly has been challenging for all of us, you know, to be home so much. And I actually, even though it may not be the greatest thing, I actually enjoy going into my office once or twice a week just to kind of break up the monotony. It's very, very difficult, and people actually that are home all the time, I think maybe, you know, are facing some things, maybe depression, things like that. So I think that it's been extremely difficult, and just, you know, so it's tough to stay positive, but you have to. We have the vaccines. Hopefully things get better this year. So that's one thing that maybe is helping people get through this. Now, in terms of writing, it hasn't really affected my writing, but where it affects me and it affects all authors is in terms of marketing. I think one of the things that you can't do right now are in-person appearances. And when I was promoting my first book, I did about 3 or 4 appearances. I did a book signing. I did about a one-hour class on book marketing. I went to my Toastmasters group. I did a reading. So I did like a whole bunch of these in-person events. You can't do those anymore. So you miss out on engaging with people in person, signing books, and also there's an opportunity to sell books right there. So I think the marketing is very, very challenging. I think the Zoom events and things like that are terrific, but it's not quite the same. So I think that's the challenge right now for writers.
It's not the same, of course. It's not the same. As a matter of fact, it's very interesting that you find going to work basically kind of like your vacation. I remember when my kids were very young and I was getting a divorce, so I was with them all day, every day. And going back to work was like such a luxury that I could actually go into the bathroom without someone screaming and knocking on the door or being able to take a little break. That's amazing. I also had a friend this week, and she told me that.
It sounds true, yeah.
Yeah.
It sounds funny, but it's true.
Yeah. And I had a friend, and she told me when COVID broke out, they told her to come into the office 1 week and then work at home 1 week. And she just went into work yesterday, and she asked them to please just let her come into work all the time. So I find that very interesting.
Yeah, just kind of getting up in the morning and dressing up and seeing your friends and stuff like that. That can definitely change your mood.
Yeah, so I think that's about it. And I think that if you want to read the book, and you should, because it is very witty and very interesting and very suspenseful, then just go to Amazon or go to the Brad Menzel blog, which is bradmenzel.wordpress.com. Did I remember it correctly?
Absolutely.
I did. That's wonderful.
You did.
Beautiful. But I love when people do that. They just use their name, makes life easy, and you don't have to worry about, okay, wait, what does Brad want to do? Is it John Caruso? Is it writer? Is it all
right.
that? No, it's your name. It's easy.
Right. Think simple.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much, Brad, for joining us today. You did say it was a series, so I know there's another one or two or three or who knows how many books inside of you to continue this.
Yep.
So definitely let us know.
I will. I will for sure. Thank you. Thank you so much, Sippy. I really enjoyed it today. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Brad. Enjoy your new life.
Thank you.
And thank you, everybody, for listening. My name is Sippy Feldenstein, and here today on Sippy Talk, we've been talking to Brad Manzo, an author and a writer, and I would say kind of a comedian that writes comedy. Maybe the next step for you, Brad, is to stand up and do some comedy.
Yeah, I thought about it.
Who knows? Who knows what's coming next? That's true. That sounds true. I want to wish everybody a wonderful week. Enjoy it. If you want to get in touch with me, all you have to do is go to tippytalkshow.com. I have over here also a copy of my book, which is Wake Up and Plan for Roses. And I may feature Brad's book. I don't know. Brad will have to talk about that on my website as well. We have a few other books that you can get there. You can listen to the shows over there, and you can contact us. And if you want to contact Brad, you can do it through me, or you can go and do it through his blog. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and I wish you magic.
Follow me out of the sound. The recording.